Well, there are many, many other things we could talk about that would relate to your spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is an adventure that lasts a whole lifetime, and we've just touched the tip of the iceberg here. We've just barely gotten started. But before I close this CD, let me just mention a few other things that I think are very, very important for you to consider as you begin to grow in Christ. One of them is the importance of worship. I hope you are already involved in a good, strong church where they believe the Bible, where they teach the Bible, where Jesus Christ is Lord, and they worship Jesus and make Him number one. If you're not in a church like that, I'd like to encourage you to pray that your parents, and maybe you could ask your parents, if they would take you to a church like that. There are lots of good churches where the Bible is taught and Jesus Christ is lifted up. Now, let me caution you about something. There are many, many kids and even adults who've been raised in church, and they go to church all the time, but they're not really worshiping. In fact, there are many kids who are very disrespectful in church. Instead of listening to the pastor, they're back there whispering, talking about somebody else, playing, laughing, teasing each other. That's very disrespectful. Jesus Christ is not pleased with that kind of behavior. We come to church to worship Him and to glorify Him and to listen to His word and to sing. But you can get used to coming to church, and you can even begin to think that worship isn't really as important as it really is. God takes worship very, very seriously, and we, of course, need to do the same thing. And if you're not careful, some of the kids around you may encourage you to not worship. They'll want to talk, they'll want to play, they'll want to tease. I just want to encourage you to remember that is not good. It's wrong. So don't just go to church to be there. Don't just go to church to sit and play and talk with your friends. But go to church to sing, and go to church to listen to the teacher and listen to the pastor. Maybe even take some notes sometimes. Go to church to think about God, to listen to God. Ask God to speak to your heart while you're in church and to keep you growing. It's a very, very important part of your life, and it should always be the rest of your life. Here's another very important thing for Christians who really want to grow. Ask God to give you at least one, and maybe two or three, good friends about your age who really, really love Jesus, who really love God's Word, who really want to grow to be more like Jesus. Because if you've got a good friend like that, you can encourage that friend, and that friend can encourage you. And together, you can become strong in Jesus. The Bible gives us lots of examples like that. David and Jonathan are a good example. They were very, very close to each other, close friends, and they helped each other and encouraged each other. James and John and Peter, close friends, disciples of Jesus, and they encouraged each other. We need that kind of relationship. Paul and Timothy and Paul and Barnabas, close friends to encourage each other, to help each other. We need that. We need to be talking to people about Jesus when we know they're going to be excited about Jesus with us. That's a very powerful thing. We also need to be talking to people about Jesus when we know they don't really know Him like we do. Jesus wants us to tell others what He can do for them, just like He's forgiven us our sins, just like He's given us eternal life, just like He's made us part of God's family. He can do that for other people. And He uses our words to tell them what He can do for them. It's called witnessing. It's called sharing your testimony, telling other people about Jesus. Some people will be excited. Some people will love to hear it. Other people won't want to hear it. You don't have to force yourself on people. You don't have to try to force people to listen, but you need to be willing to talk to people about Jesus when he gives you an opportunity. Now that brings me to another thing that I want you to keep in mind, and that is this. When you do talk to people about Jesus, when other people see that you're serious about serving Jesus Christ, that you're serious about living your life for him, that you're serious about growing to be more like Jesus, some people will make fun of you. Some kids will make fun of you. And occasionally, even adults will do it. It's a very ugly thing. They will tease you. They may call you names. They may say you're a holy Joe. They may say you're trying to be holier than thou. You're too good for them. You're goody two shoes, and on and on and on. You've probably heard those comments. And it stings a little bit. It kind of hurts when people say ugly things about us. They may even tell lies about us sometimes. Well, let me encourage you. Jesus promised us that we would have to go through some of that kind of stuff. He also promised he'd give us the strength we need and the help we need to stay strong and keep on doing the right thing. The way we respond to those kind of people is to love them and to pray for them and to know that they're just confused and they can't see what we can see, and so they just say ugly things. But we all have to go through a certain amount of that, and it may encourage you to know that many other Christians have gone through it before you, and God helped them through it, and he'll help you through it. So don't be afraid, don't be ashamed of him, even if you get a little bit of teasing and a little bit of ridicule. That's part of the Christian life. It will help make you strong if you'll just keep your eyes on Jesus. By the way, one of the most powerful ways you can tell others what's happened in your life, you can do without even using your mouth. It is something God's commanded us to do, as a matter of fact, and it's called Christian baptism. If you've trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, but you have not yet followed him in Christian baptism, I want to encourage you to talk to your pastor right away and tell him you want to follow Christ in baptism. Now let me tell you what it's about. When Jesus was on the earth, and then through his apostles in the New Testament, he gave us a command that when we're ready to follow him, we ought to show the world by being baptized. Baptism is usually done at a church service, and anybody that wants to come is welcome to come and watch you be baptized. And so it's a way of saying to anyone who wants to see that you are a new person in Christ, that you have receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and that you desire to live for him. It's a powerful testimony. And of course, if you've ever seen a baptism, you know what happens. The person is put down briefly under the water and then raised back up again. The Bible teaches that that symbolizes death, burial, and resurrection. Of course, we know that Jesus died and he was buried and he rose again the third day. We also know that someday we're going to die and be buried, and when Jesus comes back, he's going to raise us up. So it pictures both those resurrections. It also pictures a spiritual resurrection that has happened to you inside. The Bible says when you trusted Jesus, it was like an old person that you once were dying. The old person is dead and buried. And when you come out of the water, it pictures and symbolizes that you're now a new creature. You're a new person. You're a Christian. You're a child of God. You're someone you were not before. So it's a beautiful picture. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying there's anything magic about the water. It's a symbol. It's a picture. But it's a very, very important picture. And it's a picture that Jesus commanded us to take part in. So if you haven't been baptized, talk to someone about that right away. It is a powerful way to share with others what Jesus has done in your life. And it's not an option. God commands us to be baptized. One other thing comes to my mind, and it's very important if you want to keep growing in Christ. And it's what I call a teachable spirit. A teachable spirit. What I mean by that is that you need to have an attitude that you don't know everything, that you have a lot to learn. Now, for some of you listening to this CD, that's not too difficult. You know that. You know that you've got a lot to learn. But there are some kids who have a problem here. They always want to act like they know everything. They want to act like they already knew something before you told them. They want to act like they know more than everybody else. The Bible calls it pride. Sometimes we call it arrogance. It's an ugly, horrible, sinful attitude. And I hope and pray that you don't develop that kind of an attitude. You should hate pride. You should hate arrogance. And believe me, sometimes it's hard to see it when it's inside you. You can see it when other people act that way. It's very ugly. But when you act that way, it might not be easy for you to see it. So ask God to keep you teachable. Ask God to help you always be willing to keep learning and to recognize that you don't know very much and you've got a lot to learn. If you'll keep that attitude, it'll help you keep growing. Finally, let me warn you about one more mistake that many Christians make. And I want to encourage you, of course, don't you make this mistake. It is a very, very common mistake. Many Christians base their behavior on their feelings. If they feel good, if they feel happy, if they feel up, why, they're happy to go to church, they're happy to sing, they're happy to praise the Lord and pray and study their Bible, talk to others about Jesus. But if they're feeling low, or if they're feeling down, or a little depressed, or a little discouraged, then they just won't do those things. This is not from God. God nowhere tells us to do what we do on the basis of our feelings. We do what we do because God says do it. We praise God no matter how we feel. And as a matter of fact, what God wants to teach you is that your feelings will often catch up if you'll do the right thing. If you don't feel like praising the Lord and you praise Him anyway, many times you'll notice that you start feeling better. If you don't feel like going to church and you go to church anyway, many times you'll start feeling better, feeling happier, and you'll certainly be glad you did the right thing. In fact, sometimes it just seems like God saves His very best blessings for those times when we do the right thing, even when we don't feel like doing it. There is someone who wants you to make your decisions based on your feelings. And you've guessed his name, haven't you? It's Satan, the devil. Because Satan knows how to do things in your life to get you discouraged, to get your feelings down. And if he can get you discouraged and get you feeling down, and then persuade you to refuse to do the thing you should do because you don't feel like doing it, then Satan has won a major battle in your life. Related to that is this. Sometimes Christians get very discouraged and very depressed and very down and even doubt their salvation because they've sinned. Maybe they've sinned and sinned and sinned again. And Satan is just whispering in their heart, "You weren't real. You didn't mean it. You're not really a Christian." And he puts all this doubt in your mind, trying to discourage you. Once again, when we sin, God tells us what to do. Just tell God, ask Him to forgive you, and He will. And then you go on with your life and you keep making right decisions. But if you ever start making decisions based on your feelings, you're in trouble. Let your feelings follow along behind. Someone said that feelings are like the caboose of a train, not the engine. The engine is the Lord Jesus Christ. The engine is God's Word. That's why we do what we do. And then our feelings follow along behind. Don't make decisions on the basis of your feelings. Now, let me encourage you to listen to this CD again. Maybe not right now. Put it aside, but later, tomorrow, another day, pick it up, listen to it again. Maybe make a few notes. But there's more in this than you can absorb just listening to it once. If you will take these things seriously, I can promise you that God has an adventure for you that will just, as they say sometimes, blow your mind. It's going to be so good and so exciting and so thrilling what God does in your life that you'll look back someday and you'll just be amazed at what He's done, where He's brought you, what He's done through you, what He's done for you, how He's used you in the lives of other people. You'll be amazed. God wants to do that for you. Keep this in mind. He's preparing you, even at a young age, to rule and reign with Him in eternity. Your lifetime may seem to be very long right now, but it isn't. It's really very short. The Bible says it's like a vapor that appears for a moment and then vanishes away. Seems long when you're young. There'll come a time when it'll seem very short. So God wants you to use this time wisely. He says, redeem the time. That means use it well, use it wisely. Take full advantage of the time He gives you and get ready for an exciting adventure that's not just for this life, but it's forever, it's for eternity. Even after this life is over, the adventure will go on. And I pray that God will bless you more than your wildest dreams as you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.